DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
Time for Tuesday Night Live Chat with Brian S. Red and John Young. We're here.
We're on now?
We are. It's amazing how quickly your time goes when you're showing awesomeness.
Yeah, we had a little
moment
between shows.
We had a moment. I think that's the best way to describe any time you can get Ben Stowe talking about Star Wars things. It becomes a moment.
Real quick, so we can get on our topic of nothing tonight.
Yeah, we better make sure we stay on topic.
So someone doesn't like complain. I went shopping before I went to Mobile Beach because Blanca doesn't drive. I do all the grocery shopping. So she gave me a list of things to buy. On that list were paper towels. So I just grabbed some paper towels. The price looked right, so I grabbed them. Bounty, you know. Mm-hmm. We got Sparkle paper towels one time. We didn't like them, so now I'm sticking with Bounty. So I grabbed some Bounty. Didn't think a thing of it. So today, my daughter goes to put a new roll of paper towels up. And Blanca says to me, were the Star Wars ones on sale or something? They're awfully tacky. I'm like, what are you talking about? She says, you bought Star Wars paper towels. I'm like, no, I didn't. And sure enough, I bought Star Wars paper towels. So we have Star Wars paper towels. And this isn't the only thing that you get. You don't just get the little robot guy. You get, this one just says Star Wars on it. Right?
Nice.
And then there's also, this alternates stormtroopers and some kind of robot on this one. And
I love the some kind of robot. Ben is watching this show right now. You know, he's gonna watch the first five minutes.
And we have, let's have some fun. And this one has swords on it. I know, they're lightsabers. So I was just having some fun. So,
these have got these.
Yeah, I have Star Wars paper towels.
They've got these.
I know what the stuff's called, but it's almost more funny when you pretend you don't.
I know, that's my question, when you were just using things, calling it by name, and now it bends off and you can poke a little bit.
And it's right, got
this
right,
really funky,
right.
Funky, yeah, this robot.
Yeah, this is a robot head of some kind. And
I don't know what this is.
This is Starbuck, I believe.
Is this Seattle-based? I'm not sure.
Now I'm making John upset.
Making me upset. Oh, I'm laughing because, again, Ben's somewhere watching. Dude, it's BB-8.
Starbuck? It's the wrong show. I think it's got Spock on it. there's a Spock roll. Yeah, I know there is.
Vulcan in there?
Or the little green goblin guy, he's on one of them.
May the force be with you somehow.
Dog?
The dog that
there's the tall dog. He's on one of them. I wish the tall dog was on one of them. I don't know.
Yeah, he could be.
So welcome, guys. Welcome. We've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've been out and about. It was a big. Well, you've been journeying across this country.
Yeah, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. I drove from, I went from Las Vegas to Phoenix. I was going to do like a Steve Miller band. I went from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Tacoma, but I didn't do that. I went from Las Vegas all the way to Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah.
And it was a fun drive. I rented a Mustang and got to test that thing out on the corners on the hills. And there were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain. I got a couple of raindrops on my windshield just north of King something. I want to say Kingpin, but that was that movie with Woody Harrelson. Kingburg, something. Not sure. Kingman, Arizona.
Kingman, Arizona.
It's like you see these signs when you're driving through the desert, and they're like telling you about this town. This town is coming up in 90 miles. This town is coming up in 50 miles. And you're getting all excited because there's a town coming up, and you get there, and it's like three truck stops, and it's over.
That's it.
There's nothing out there. Yeah, there's nothing out there. So anyway, that was fun. Spent some time. My sister's got my head all sunburned, as you can see. Oh, yeah. It's healing well.
Got a little sun.
Yeah, little peeling. But it was fun.
So not used to that being at this time of the year up here. We're still inside, and we have snow on the ground.
Lots of snow. Yeah. Well, it's in the 30s now, I think. My sister texted me earlier, and she said, "How are you adjusting to the weather?" I said, "It's fine as long as I don't go outside." This is exactly what it is. So I've been inside all day. I haven't left. There's no reason to, so I'm staying in.
Waiting for June.
Waiting for June.
So then you did some family things, saw some friends and such, and then, of course, last week we were in Vegas at Mobile Beat.
Yes.
Kind of tell me about that. I've been hearing some stories from Howie, and he's been sharing some things about...
Oh, it was Howie's first.
Yeah.
Howie's first Mobile Beat. Yeah, it was fun. And, you know, my experience is different than a lot of people's experiences at Mobile Beat because I'm really there to see people. I'm there to say hello. I'm there to listen. I'm there to help answer questions and things. So I met a lot of people that I never met before. A lot of new faces at Mobile Beat this year. A lot. That was nice. Instead of the same thing over and over again. I love seeing old friends, but it's really exciting to meet new people and have conversations with people that I've never met and who watch me. And I get great input, too. It's really cool to come home. And I just did it earlier. I was taking some notes of some things that came up at the show. People were asking me about questions, concerns, whatever. And they're really easy explanations on a lot of this stuff. But I just think, well, I need to do a video on it. Because right. If they have the question, there are a lot of people who probably have the same question. So,
yeah, certainly
it was fun.
Certainly happens that way because that's generally from the teaching world when we were doing that, it's like encouraging the kids to ask a question because it's like if you have that question, there's probably five other classmates that have the same question. So don't be afraid.
And it's true. I mean, it really is true. There are a lot of people who have the same questions. So it's nice to be able to, you know, kind of figure out what. You know, what's on people's minds? Because I don't know sometimes. It's so hard to know, you know, where people are at. I mean, I try to throw videos out there on things that I get, you know, questions on Facebook on and such. But to really interact with people and to talk to them and talk through some things sometimes, it's nice. Mm-hmm. It's real nice. Usually. There was a guy at the bar who was kind of a drag. He had a cowboy hat on. He was short and he was really kind of loud. And he kept asking me about the ProVent table and how you do all the things to the ProVent table that I've already done videos on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are people at the table going, dude, he's done this video. He's like, I don't have time to watch the videos. I just need to know. I'm like, well, I don't have time to answer your question then.
Unfortunately.
We've talked about this. Let's talk about something else.
For sure. Yep. It's like, been there, done that. Watch the video.
But otherwise, it was wonderful.
Was there any kind of a theme or anything, not maybe not theme, but you're seeing a tendency with some of the questions or some of the direction that people were thinking at this year's show?
Well, I think a lot of people just have some misconceptions on a few pieces of equipment. One thing that kept popping up was about the Airstream DMX bridge. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying at the show, I had more than one person say to me, I'm really interested. The only problem is there are a lot of halls that I go to that do not have internet, so I can't use it. Mm. And I had like, well, no, you don't need internet for it. And yeah. So I needed to do a video, Airstream DMX bridge, no internet required.
And actually prefer no internet because, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you don't need it at all. But people have that misconception that they must be online to use the product. Another one was, I'm really interested in the Airstream DMX bridge. The only problem is I don't have wireless lights. So there's another video. I've got to go in and show people that they can use DMX cable. Now, some of you may be saying to yourself, well, come on, you know, whatever. Come on, everybody's got something that they don't understand. Everybody's got something that they're not clear on. And if you're not real well-versed in this stuff, you're going to miss stuff here and there.
Yep.
And it's completely legitimate stuff that people are asking about. And it's all stuff that I need to, you know, do some videos on.
One of the videos with the Airstream DMX bridge that I've got to work on, because I found this last Friday night. We were doing a high school dance, and we were in an area that has 9 different wireless transmitters over the 2.4 gigahertz bandwidth. Mm-hmm. They're each on a different channel. That's 9 of the 11 channels. There's only 11 channels that we can choose from. 9 of them were taken. And what happens is that when there's interference, if someone is utilizing that access point, then all of a sudden your lights are the iPad. I've got the iPad set, so it will actually, with the moving heads, I've done a little thing where I drew the diagram, and the lights follow that pattern, and it's fabulous. As soon as the Wi-Fi connection between the iPad and the DMX bridge is broken, the lights just stop. They're like waiting for the next command. It's not getting it from the iPad. So I ended up having to go into this, like when I would have a connection, I went in and actually selected some macros. So they were doing kind of an auto program thing, and then going back to the iPad and trying to say, it's like, okay, where is an open, you know, with my iPhone doing an analyzer, and it's like, okay, where's an open channel here? So it was struggling with that. So most of the time I prefer not to have Wi-Fi, but in this particular case, we had 9 of them.
Yeah, there are settings on these lights where if the connection is broken, what do you want the light to do? Do you want it to black out, or do you want it to do something else? And in that case, you would just go to your lights, and I don't know what it is on the menu, but there's a thing like that where if the connection is broken for any reason, how do you want the light to act?
Well, in the DMX Airstream is still, it's still thinking and it's still doing and such. It's just that the iPad is not sending the proper information. So there's still a DMX signal going to the light. It's just that the DMX signal, if it was sending in on, you know, channel 3, if it was sending a rate of, you know, at a slider rate of about, you know, 175, and then the next time it would be going up, you know, up to 200 and back and forth to make that light pan back and forth, it's just going to sit at 175. And that's what was happening. And it was frustrating the first couple of times that it happened, because you're like, what's wrong with you? And of course, when we get back here and set up, and it was that. And my son actually does IP work at that school. And he's like, yeah, when we have prom, we're going to shut all of those down. We're going to have just one of them up, and it's going to be a channel da-da-da-da, whatever he figured, because he knows what he's doing. And he goes, we won't have a problem. So it's just, if you run that, there's potential situations where those could pop up.
Sure.
Keeping systems, Scott mentioned, like to keep his setup simple, and I get that, but there's so
much. Scott keeps it real simple.
There's so many things you can do with the with just the iPad, that just that little bit of control is so it's so worth having that ability, because I'm not one to go and set up a huge program things, but oh my goodness, to be able to go I hit the red button, and I've got it set so all of my lights become red, and the moving heads go back and forth and kind of pan the room a little bit. So you can just set some things and have some moods.
You know, things like this, and it, you know, we talk about them. It's all troubleshooting, and I think folks like Scott, you know, said, "Oh, I'm justified for having the simplest thing in the world, because you are having problems." You know, it's sometimes about getting around the problems and then figuring out, and then we pass the knowledge along, and there's no longer a problem. We just have to figure it out together. But you know, that's all kind of the scientific method.
It really is. It really is.
And if we don't have this, we don't go forward at all. And I don't know. It's a learning process. And I understand if people don't want to do things. That's fine. You guys do whatever you want. It means nothing to me. You guys run whatever you want, however you want to run it. I'm just here to share what I know.
And there's many shows that we do.
What little I know.
Yeah, and there's shows that we do that you're not requiring a big light show.
Sure.
Or any lights. Sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I can bring my speakers and boom, I have a show coming up here in a couple of weeks where I'm going to be running the 10-inch tops over the 12-inch subs in the ELX 200 series. Small event, that controller, computer, and I'm there. I don't even
sure.
I'll have a microphone, but that's it.
Right. Yeah, simple is good sometimes. I was in the cave today. Jason Early was talking about how he's not sure what he wants to do speaker-wise. Actually, the video was from a few days ago. I'm just seeing the stuff now.
Yeah, I just saw it today
I was
too,
on
myself.
Vacation.
I wasn't, but I just
I was so on vacation, dude. I was just tuned out. I didn't know nothing. I might have looked at Facebook on my phone once in a while for 20 seconds at a time, but that was it. I just forget it. I was not even thinking about this stuff. And mm-hmm. the first time I've done that in a long time. But anyway, he was talking about how he's looking to do something different with speakers. He's starting to notice some limitations that his speakers have. He'd like to do more. He's got some 15-inch subs, but he doesn't know. He's looking at the array systems. He's going to spend the money, blah, blah, blah. And no, I chimed in. And I'm just like, well, if you're happy with what you have, you know, don't feel compelled to replace them or dump $3,000 on something that you don't need.
Yeah.
If you want to try to manage things a little better, weight wise, sound wise, consider a 12-inch single instead of these dual 15s. It's going to be smaller footprint for you. It's going to focus your sound closer to the center of the dance floor.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it sometimes it's not all about just starting over. It's about just solving the problem that's in front of you. It could be a simple solution. You can make this as easy or as complicated as you want. You know, as Scott knows. Scott can do, you know, he can make it simple or he can make it complicated. He's made it pretty simple. I like to go in the middle somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go over the top, but anymore, I'm really kind of leaning toward the technology that's out there available to us to make it easier for us.
Oh, for sure.
Making life easier. Better living through technology, if you will.
Ooh, you're getting deep now.
Yeah.
Sound like one of those the commercial that was showing in the movie WALL-E.
That was an album, and I can't remember who the hell did it.
Oh, nice.
It's an album. Howie would know. It's Better Living Through Technology, and it's like, I don't know if it's Alan Parsons or Peter Gabriel or who that. Not Peter Gabriel. His name is albums, but it was something weird. It's an older album. You probably know. But yeah, my videos, the stuff that I do, the things that I try, I'm just trying to show you the possibilities. You know, what you do with it is up to you. Put your own spin on it. You know, hopefully it just kind of stimulates your, you to do something different or something that's easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
you'd mentioned in a video you put up today, I believe it was, about the buying of gear.
Oh, yeah, in the cave. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, whenever we have a show come up, we just, of course, went through Mobile Beat, and there's this, for the people who didn't go, you almost feel that they have this itch to buy something.
Yeah.
You know, they're asking questions about this, that, the other thing, and they want to buy something, and it's like, well, you know, it's nice that the shows have discounted prices on things, but sometimes, as you were alluding to just a few minutes ago, is that the what you've got is not a ton worse than what's brand new. And if it's still very functional and has life left in it, it may not be a wise time to buy just because you've got the itch to buy.
Right. Yeah. Some people they want the new iPhone. They just want that. Regardless as to whether or not their old iPhone's working well or not. They want the new iPhone, they'll get in line for the damn thing.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. I'm really not. I mean, I'm fortunate enough, as are you, that we do get things sent to us to try. It's like, hey, give it a try. And mm-hmm. we do. And sometimes I try things and I say, oh, that's nice, but it's not really for me, I guess. Other times I try things. Okay, yeah, this is making my life easier. This mm-hmm. is making everything better. It's not only easier, but it's better. So we're going to go with this. Most people don't have that. And I hope the service that we provide people to kind of show them what's out there and what's available and what it does and how maybe you could use it. But some people just want it to have it. But there's got to be a reason to buy stuff. I mean, sometimes your things are obsolete. Mechanical obsolescence, is that a word?
Oh, yeah. Yes, certainly it is.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, it's just time. I was talking about my laptop. I got a 7-year-old Asus Republica Ooh. Gamers laptop. It's my favorite laptop because it's the newest laptop I have that runs Windows 7 Pro. And it's very irresponsible for me to use this laptop at gigs, but I do. And I use my 2-year-old Republica Gamers computer that has like no miles on it as my backup. It's just where I'm at, it's irresponsible for me to do this. I need a brand new laptop, and I need to use my old laptop as, or my 2-year-old laptop as backup, I guess, or something. I don't know. But at any rate, yeah, sometimes if our speakers are old, and especially with this powered stuff, I mean, this was not an issue with the passive.
Yeah.
You know, a speaker lasts a long time. Maybe your amplifier is an issue, but not your speaker.
Yeah.
People are still using like the Klipschhorns from the 60s or the Bose from the 60s or whatever. And they're like audiophile, you know, brilliant things. And even the amplifiers, the old tube amps, the Macintosh and all that. But when it comes to this stuff, especially the price points that the industry demands, which is the consumer, I'm not going to spend any more than this. You got to cut corners somewhere. Stuff is not going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to replace it. So, oh, you remembered. Oh, you are amazing. I told my daughter, I said, at about the half hour mark, I'm going to need a fresh coffee. And I didn't think she was going to remember,
Jesus,
but she did. Right, and she just brought it down to me. And she left really quick because she doesn't want to deal with this.
She's almost right on the... Right at the half hour mark too, from when you started.
Yeah, yeah, she's good. So she was paying attention. She must want something. Because I need this. So yeah, I don't know. It's irresponsible to run things for too long. But then on the other hand, if there's something wrong with what you have, why replace it?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's that rant. For what it's worth.
So Reggie had asked a little bit about if you saw any artists while down there in Vegas. Did you get to see? Did you see Rob?
No,
you didn't get.
No, I did not. I saw Fat Man Scoop perform.
Okay.
And Jason Janai was in charge of that. I asked Ryan Berger. I'm like, hey, I've got this copy. I'll show it to you. I had Paul Gee bring this to me from England. Hold on, just a second.
Yeah, you mentioned it. You talked about that.
Yeah. I want you to notice something about this really cool 12-inch copy of Fat Man Scoopy Faithful. It's not signed. I said, Ryan, what kind of credentials do I need to get back there so I can have Fat Man Scoop sign this? Jason Janai is in charge of that. Just don't worry about it. Jason Janai would not make eye contact with me. No. So we didn't get it signed. And then I'm hearing, you know, oh, well, Fat Man Scoop was at this thing and it was at that thing. I'm not going to chase Fat Man Scoop the whole time I'm at Mobile Beat.
Mm.
You may not have heard, but I'm kind of a big deal. I'm a busy guy. I got time to chase around Fat Man Scoop. I was at the show. I was like, I got the record. And the security guy's like, if you jump behind this barrier, we're going to have problems and we're going to get physical. I'm like, I'm a disabled man. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just waving my record around.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave up.
The record in a Sharpie.
Now the coolest brush with fame that I had, I've actually met him before, and a lot of people don't even know who the hell he is, but it's super cool. After that party, Jay Brannon had a party
mm-hmm.
at Hooters at a bar. Just
yeah.
a party. Come and just hang out. And Chris Cox was there. Now, I know Chris. Chris, I've met him several times. Chris Cox has, I think, a record for the number one singles on the charts as far as a producer
mm-hmm.
and a remixer. And if you met Chris Cox, he looks like the kid who just got off the school bus after a long day. He just looks like a little kid. His hair is like, he's got like kid hair. He dresses like a kid and he looks like a kid. But this dude has produced so many things. And Madonna, Britney Spears, I mean, all the big hitters.
Hmm.
And he's a friend of Jay's. And he lives in Vegas.
Okay.
So he came down for the party. He was just hanging out. Really, really nice guy. And most people did not even know who it was. But that's Chris Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Google them.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at chriscox.net.
Yeah.
Is who he is. And he's got in the, yeah,
it
looks like.
If you look at his credits, it's very impressive. All the things that he's produced and remixed and the hits that he's had on the Hot 100. it's just an insane amount of tracks, and he's still active. And he started as a mobile DJ, and he got into this production stuff. So, oh, Scott is talking about barbecue in Vegas.
So, oh yeah, yeah. You guys went, didn't you hit the barbecue place?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah, so I've heard you talk about
because,
it.
Because, well, if I do, if I'm like, eh, it doesn't happen. Like everything else, you got to make some noise. I'm like, look, if you fools don't want to go, I'm getting an Uber and I'm going by myself. So Mario's like, dude, we're going. And I'm like, cool. And then B. Diddy's like, I'm going too. And we ended up taking two cars.
Nice.
And we went down there and we just pigged out, man. It was good. Howie, that was Howie's highlight of his trip.
That's what he was saying when I
said, let's roll and smoke barbecue.
You mentioned the barbecue and he starts drooling. He's like, yeah, barbecue.
Oh, man. Howie lost his shit. He was really enjoying it. We got the brisket, we got the burnt tips. And the ribs. I got a double order of ribs, which was foolish. I didn't need that much. But very good. Very good. And, you know, the place is getting more and more popular. There was quite a line when we got there.
Oh, okay.
Usually when you go there, you just walk right in. But the line was getting a little intense. So it's yeah, word's getting out, man.
Yeah, it's a good place. We stopped, not this time, but one of the times last year. And
the value of the stuff is amazing. Mm-hmm. Just compared to, I mean, if we get barbecue around here, man, you can't feed somebody for $20. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. I mean, when I go get barbecue for the family, I spend $50.
Yeah, I believe it.
And it's not a lot, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
but there, yeah, anywhere between $12 and $17, and you can't eat it all.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. And then we brought Chris for virtual DJ, right?
Yep.
He's very interested in going. He's a vegetarian.
So what did...
He got a salad.
Okay.
I know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just... I mean...
Yeah.
The ambiance. I mean, it is kind of a neat little hole-in-the-wall type place.
Right.
But...
He got a salad. And fries. You got fries. The fries are good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had some of those.
Yeah, I got fries. So
$18 with the soda.
Yeah. But that was three meats.
Yeah. That was that three meat sampler platter.
He tore it up, too. He tore it up. Howie cleaned his plate.
He's a good boy.
Yeah, he is. Those burnt tips, I mean, they're really good. I prefer the regular brisket, though, because those burnt tips. Man, that was so hot. They peppered those things so heavy.
Mm.
The regular brisket they serve is amazing. It's really good.
Now,
I like the burnt tips, but next time I go, I'm not going to get burnt tips. I'm going to get the regular brisket.
So for those of you watching and you have to go and make yourself a midnight snack after the show, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Unless you're in Vegas.
Yeah, unless you're in Vegas, then you're right there.
And if you're in Vegas, you got about a half hour to get there before they close.
Oh. So Jay had a party. Did that he was? Was it just kind of a hangout social, or was there a DJs playing?
Yeah, it was just come on, chill out, and talk, and listen to some people spin some weird stuff. Some people signed up to DJ.
Nice.
I think that what's happening is, and I don't know. The spirit of doing this is just to kind of hang out and chill out and talk and whatever. I think there are a lot of people who go to Vegas, and I don't know why they think that this is a good idea. They go to Vegas like they're going to break as a DJ in Vegas, like they're going to make this big career by spinning in as many venues as possible. So you get these guys to come and they want to show off and make it the me show. And it's totally not, it's not supposed to be the me show.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be, we're all just hanging out, listening to tunes. And for the most part, that's exactly what it was. It was cool. A couple times it became the me show.
Mm.
And Jay and I were talking about it. I was like, I never want that to happen again. I just want people to go up there and play. And I said, you know, there ought to be a deal where you're not even allowed to announce who's going to play. You're not even allowed to advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whoever's up there is up there. Yeah, you can work it out on the back end. But don't let anybody know who's playing. I think it'd be more fun that way. So people don't come to see anyone. You just come to hang. But it was cool. It was real cool. I stayed quite late. I think I was there when it was closing.
Wow.
It was good. It was real good. And you can hang out by the pool or you can hang out inside. It was up to you, whatever you want to do. There's like a fuzz on my mic. It's driving me nuts. But anyway, yeah, it was fun. It was really nice.
Yeah, I think it wasn't the initial concept because you mentioned the DJ takeover. You were involved with kind of putting something together like that. And we may get political here and I don't care. I've talked to people who have said that what initially it was and what it is today are two completely different things. And they're not liking the way it has evolved. Was that kind of what Jay was looking for, is to kind of recreate that original?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a love letter to me, I think. It was. I do a lot of things, folks. And I have ideas and I try things. And I see how they go. And after I've tried them, I pretty much say, okay, that was fun. And I go on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. I've done it a couple times. And one of those times was the first takeover, which was supposed to be taking over the stage at Bistro in place of the hired entertainment that was there and just playing to whoever happened to be in the room. It didn't have to be a room full of DJs standing there, you know. This. Mm-hmm. By the way, how many DJs does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I do not know.
All of them. You see, one DJ goes to the closet, pulls out a new light bulb, gets the ladder out, climbs up the ladder, takes the old light bulb out, puts the new light bulb in. Every other DJ in the world stands around like this going, yeah, I could do that. That's how many DJs it takes to screw in a light bulb. And I can't stand that, man. That's why I don't play at these shows, because it's just not... it's not educational. It's nothing. It's just kind of showboating. Yeah. What I thought would be educational, I thought would be fun, would be for me to watch you perform in front of a real crowd, mm-hmm. of just people walking in off the street, not DJs, but a real crowd. I thought that would be so informative to see how you handled it.
Mm-hmm.
And then how we could go up for an hour. And I could see how Howie plays to that crowd and how he does it. You know, and then, you know, Jimmy can go up for an hour.
Yeah.
It didn't work out that way when I did it. People kind of really wanted to show off and be loud, and it was kind of disappointing. Nobody got it. No one got it. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm alone on this. I'm the only one who thinks this is a good idea. So I guess I'm not going to do it anymore. And then I had the stroke that year, too. And then whoever the kid is who runs it now is like text bombing me. Are you going to do it this year? I really want to play in Vegas my first year. I'm like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
Not doing this anymore. I'm too busy. I don't got time. It didn't go the way I wanted it to. But people loved what happened there. And he took it over and he made it a thing, a very loud thing that I never went to. It was just too much. And now it's just this really, really big loud thing. And it's an official thing too. It's an official mobile beat thing.
Yeah.
I prefer the unofficial stuff. It's more fun. The stuff that doesn't have corporate logos all over it, even if there's a little bit of sponsorship is cool and helpful, but to just put your name on it and to make it this thing. And then when you start doing that, a bunch of people show up that you don't really want to talk to. They're not the people you want to hang out with. The people who, I don't know, are just not the folks you're really counting on spending an evening with. That's been my experience with what happens when things go corporate. We had it with the tamale party before.
Mm-hmm.
Walking to the tamale party, Marl's running around going crazy trying to serve everybody tamales. There's a bunch of people in there that we don't know who are not talking to us and are pals of other people, you know. And they're wearing suits. What the hell you wear a suit to our party for? You're the wrong party if you got a suit on. You're the fucking suit. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't see you. I just saw some pictures and such. We unfortunately couldn't make it over there Wednesday night.
Yeah, I understand. But yeah, it was nice. I was there for a little while. I didn't stay real long. I had to make travel plans because my ride didn't come through.
Sure.
And nobody seemed to want to give me one. So I had to make travel plans, which is cool. I got to go for a ride through the desert in a Mustang.
Which isn't a bad thing at all.
No, not a bad thing at all. So yeah, I start things and I just walk away from them. I did the same thing with Midwest DJ's Life. I did Practice and Enjoy in 2008. And then I went to Vegas like 2 weeks later. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm taking attention away from a real show. You can go to Vegas, get a hotel room, even with a pass. It's less money than coming to Wisconsin in January, trying to get a hotel here and rent a car and all that crap. Mm-hmm. And the flights, you know, I'm just going to not do this anymore because I think all I'm doing is hurting a real opportunity for people to go to a real good conference.
Right.
And then a bunch of local guys, hey, we got to do that again. Nope. Not doing it again. No, we got to do it. Nope. You want to do it? You go right ahead. I'm not doing it anymore. So I'm really good at starting things and walking away from them. And I'll do it again. I'll do something. And people will think it's awesome. And I'll say, nope, not doing it again. I'll do it five more times in the next few years. Watch me. I'll do it. So.
Just following the chat, seeing if there's any
ranting. I'm ranting and raving. Yeah, and this is a really cool, you know, Fat Man Scoop album cover, but it would have been cooler if it was signed.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. You know, some people are our friends until they're at Mobile Beat, then they're not our friends anymore. I don't know why that is, but I ain't going to forget about it. I'm just saying.
And I didn't see Fat Man Scoop. I was, again, only there on Wednesday afternoon, and I didn't see him around.
See, if you're my boy, you're my boy 52 weeks a year. You're not my boy for 51.
You know, if I could have, if I'd have been there on Tuesday, I would have gotten you back there. I'm sure there would have been a way to do it.
Well,
if not.
He was there on Wednesday and everything else. But like I said, I'm not going to spend my entire time there chasing Fat Man Scoop. Yeah. We were up at the tamale party, and I was like, oh, I'm going down to the whatever room, the thing Ryan's having, because Fat Man Scoop is down there. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do, run? You know, I'm going to go down this elevator and run all the way across the casino to maybe see this. I got to go back to my room, get the record. No, I'm at the tamale party. That opportunity passed. We're not doing this anymore. But it's fine. It's okay. You know, it just is what it is. We tried. This used to be easy, and it's harder now than it used to be.
Yeah, it definitely, is.
That's okay.
Jimmy wants to have an expo party. I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to check. We were looking at it last night, the map for DJ Expo, where the Harrah's, where that is in relation to everything else we've ever done in Atlantic City. It's like way far, far away. So it'll be interesting to see how that show acts this year, because you're not going to have people walking the boardwalk, you know, that you can just pop out in front of the hotel and go for a walk for a half an hour.
Huh.
So Jimmy will have to see. It might be one of those nights where we could get a massive suite and have a gathering at the hotel or at the host's casino hotel. Because
I don't know what our crew is going to look like there. I mean, we have big crew at Mobile Beat.
Yeah.
I don't know what the crew is going to look like for Expo.
Yeah.
Different people, of course, but
talking to quite a few people who were at Mobile Beat, and one of the questions I like to ask is, you know, what's a highlight from the show? You know, what's something that just stood out to you? And of all the people I talked to, I've not heard one basically say anything about the educational side. Everything was about, I got to see this person, I got to hang out with this person, I got to, you know, go to this tamale party type thing and see a lot of friends, what have you.
Yeah. I got to go get barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. It's precisely. It's an interesting thing. When 10 years ago when we went to the shows, 15 years ago when we were going to the shows, what was the highlight? Oh, I learned these five tricks that I could take and use in my business. That was a common thing. And I wondered to myself, is it now that because the education is so prevalent online that people aren't really going for the educational side? They're going to go to have barbecue with Brian Redd, to go and have a beer with Jay Brannon, to go and have a tamale with Morrow. I mean, is it that these events have become just such a social event that the education is way secondary?
Well, Mobile Beat has been the social show for a while now. That's the show everybody gets together and hangs out. It's Vegas. It's not expensive. It's fun. It's a nice break from the weather for a lot of us folks. in the Midwest or even on the East Coast. I don't know, man. I got some feedback from some of the seminars that was less than flattering. And to not pick on it, because I didn't get any names of anybody who was presenting. But the general vibe I got from folks who went was that a lot of the presenters were spending 20 minutes telling you all about them and why they're credible and why they're really great and why you should listen to them. And then they'd get into the meat and potatoes of the thing and lecture for another 40 minutes and then it would be over.
Sure.
And I think that's the wrong way to go about things. If that's indeed what was happening.
And I could see that happening because I heard that there were some first-time presenters there or some fairly inexperienced presenters. And as an inexperienced presenter, you do things like that because, well, you feel like, oh, they don't know me from Adam, so I've got to establish my credibility. As opposed to if you go up there and you can share a tip, present a problem that most of them have, and here's a way to solve that problem, and here's an idea that could be creatively, you know, to deal with this. And all of a sudden, you've got a room full of people who are like, wow, this person knows what they're talking about. I wonder what they're going to say next.
It's weird. I mean, no one's asking me to present. I could. I prepared to a year, and I do give them other places.
Yeah.
But no one's asking me to present. I don't know who these people are. I don't care who they are. And if I got to go in there and I have to listen to them lecture for an hour without a break, I don't want to be there at your first attempt on stage for stand-up comedy. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I want to be there after you've honed your act and you know what you're doing. And that's funny. That's cool. I don't want to be the guinea pig. And it's unfortunate that I think a lot of these people are using Mobile Beat. It's like their first ever, speaking.
Yeah, their first engagement
thing. And you know,
and you see that. Not that it's just Mobile Beat. DJ Times, of course. Really, any of the shows that happens, that a person's going to. Okay, well, let's see. I've got 10 slots to fill, and I could put. I've got my A-lister presenters, I've got some B-lister presenters, and then I've got to fill the rest of it with...
I don't know how they're doing this. Are people asking to present, and they're saying, okay, fine? Or are they picking people that they think will be strong presenters?
That's what they're doing. They're picking the main, you know, the main ones. You know that a Randy Bartlett and a Mike Walter, those guys are going to deliver and deliver pretty much every time. So yeah, they're going to be there. Then you're looking for people who might have a topic that would be applicable. Well, if I want to talk social media, I need to find someone who would be kind of well-versed in that area. So then we find that person. The show promoters, they go, you know, when we had things in Minneapolis, the guys from DJ Times and Mobile Beat both came up to Minneapolis to see what we had going.
Right. But
they're trying to find talent that that goes
I
on.
I spoke at that one.
Yes, we did.
I did. I spoke at the CDJ show in Canada. Mm-hmm. 2 years in a row. I went there the first year, and when they called, and they're like, look, we're going to give it a try. Talk about whatever you want. Just come on up and do an hour. And we don't ever have anybody there 2 years in a row. But, you know, maybe if we like it, we'll have you back another time or something.
Sure.
All right, fine. So I did it. And apparently I had the highest attended presentation of that year, and they approached me immediately afterwards and says, you're coming next year. I said, okay. So then they reach out again and they say, well, hey, you want to come? Please come back. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Could you do two? I'm like, yeah, I guess. So I went back. I did two highest attended presentations of the show. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that I do okay with this. And it's weird that I'm not being asked to talk to some of these. Considering, and not as an A-lister, I'm talking about as an alternate. I could do this.
Oh, I definitely know what you're saying.
And, instead of bringing in, Fred from Topeka, who's never spoke in front of anyone before because he's got an idea, you know? Mm-hmm. That's weird to me that they do that, and they just do it to fill space. Yeah, you know, Mike Walter and, you know, Mark Farrell, if he comes, or, you know, Peter Mary, whoever comes, this is what they do. They do a good job at it. Let them do it, you know? Mm-hmm. I saw a fantastic presentation one time. It was at, where was that? It was at Drax's old show.
Okay.
The Las Vegas DJ show. Mikey Mike did a presentation on lighting, on just architectural lighting, and it was amazing. It was so inspiring. Mm-hmm. Where is that presentation? And who's the better person to give it? You know, Mikey Mike is a freaking rocket scientist. He understands this stuff.
Truly.
He's better than most.
Rocket scientist.
And he doesn't need to go up there being sponsored by anybody. He's just good at this. Nobody's asking Mikey Mike to talk. It's a damn shame, mm-hmm. you know? If they're looking for spots to fill, there are better people to fill these spots besides people who want to go up there and tell you who they are for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and precisely. And I think as someone who has put on shows and such with some of the newer speakers, you need to go through and do a little handholding on someone who is starting out. And, you know, I've had it where they've sent me kind of an outline of their speech and then introduce myself. And then they start going through bullet points of who they are and what they do. And sometimes I've caught it, and sometimes, unfortunately, I haven't. And we had one person who came and spoke at one of our events who had like four pages of credentials that he went through and read. And it's like, no.
Editing yourself is part of the whole thing with speech. I mean, I have never done anything with Toastmasters, but I've talked to other people who've done it where editing your speech is so important.
To be able to be entertaining is another part that really gets
there. You go.
To be able to relate and to be able to connect with an audience and to be genuine with an audience. And those are just little nuances that some people just do not have. Some of the speakers from Mobile Beat, as I was talking to people today about it, it's interesting. We talked about the show last night, and then today my phone was like ringing off the hook for a period of time because people were calling and saying, hey, I you talked about the show. Well, here's my thoughts. Thank you.
Right.
That's great. But they're talking about some of the presenters are so intelligent, but so incredibly dry.
Just
like you're putting us to sleep I heard that a couple of times from people today that some of these people were. And I know exactly. They could have just told me that and I could go through that schedule or the program. And I'll tell you the two or three presenters that would have applied to because they're knowledgeable. They run great businesses, but this is not their forte.
And when I go in and do these presentations, like when I did the last ones for the CDJ show, I wrote two. And then, like, if anybody else asked me to speak that year, they could pick one of those, and I just use it, you know. And I basically do an outline. And I'm looking at probably a solid 20 minutes of material. Mm-hmm. But I'm pausing so often for questions.
Yes.
That it bumps up to about 35, 40 minutes. And then you got a whole 20 minutes for open Q&A at the end, which is so important, you know? So when I do a presentation, I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about the audience.
Yeah.
It's just like DJing. Who cares if I like the song I'm playing or if I like the way I'm dressed or anything else? Mm-hmm. It matters how the audience is responding to it. This is no different. And I don't know why this is so difficult for some people to understand.
Yeah.
This should come naturally to us. Think of it as performing in front of a crowd. It's exactly what you're doing. But it's not all about just what you want to play. It's about the requests. And you got to leave them room to make those requests, you know, and interact.
Well, and
YouTube was, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The idea of having just a little idea of what your audience is going to be. I mean, before you get to an event, you're like, okay, I think that, you know, I'm going to be running into this type of a crowd and I'm going to be need to do some this way to connect with them. And then when you get there, sometimes you need to have that room to flex and contour a little bit to really fit them.
Well, honey, I'm right here. Old cat, sorry.
No problem.
come here, baby. Come see Mama. Come here.
Come here.
Old cat. She's looking for me, and she wasn't sure where I was because she's old. Mm-hmm. YouTube was a really good format for me because I really had a hard time in school with lectures.
Sure.
They just kill it. And you could keep me for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes if you're really good. After that, I'm going to start drifting unless I can interact. If I cannot interact, then you've lost me. And so YouTube, at the way back, you were limited to 10 minutes. And, of course, you had no choice but to stay under 10. And then I learned that the shorter the video, the better. So I started going 3-4 minutes, under 5 anyway.
Yep. It,
just to kind of get a point across and get a taste. If people wanted more, you could do a part 2 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, yeah, honey, hold on a second. She wants in the back room.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's... I don't know. This should be second nature. I don't know why it's not with these people. Talk. I'll be right back. I'm listening.
Yeah, and that is a difficult thing because I don't know if it's an empathy thing, and we've talked about empathy a little bit in the past, that some people just don't have that built into them. So basically it's the me show on stage.
But shouldn't DJs have it built into them, though?
You would think so, but not...
This is the part that I struggle with.
Yeah. And I again, it's frustrating because in this particular case, let's look at that Mobile Beat crowd. There's always a third of the room that this is their first time. And from what I had heard from some people, this year might have even been higher than that for this being their first time at the
a lot of new faces.
A lot of new faces there. So now as a presenter, I've got to build my presentation with the idea that most likely, the experienced DJs are going to be off enjoying the company of other DJs and such and socializing, and they're probably not going to be in my session. So I might have 75% of my audience being new, relatively inexperienced DJs that I can't build off of having a business plan, like Draxist said, because they probably have no idea what that is. I can't build off these things, and now I have to do something that's going to fit them and reach them where they're at and help them grow from there to here. And if I don't do that, I have failed not only myself, but I failed them. And that's, I just don't understand how people don't grasp that and sometimes say, you know what, I could go and talk about this, but let's go and talk about what you guys are really actually needing and such. Instead of talking about this high level of sales, let's get you started here.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's often the problems with any of these folks out there who have these big ideas. They want to come at the person who just is brand new and green and throw these big ideas and these big concepts at them. And they get frustrated when they don't click with them. And I'm thinking to myself, no, hold on a second. This is baby steps. You need to give these people a gateway drug. You can't just tell them to go to the heroin den from church right now.
Yeah.
Got to give them a gateway drug to get them into that heroin den, you know, eventually. It's a process. Let's do a tour, you and me, speaking tour. See if we can keep them. What do you say?
Well, we could, but a lot of them just see us every week on our shows.
Yeah, and they want us to shut up. So
yeah, exactly. Stay on topic, you know.
What the hell? There's no educational value to any of this shit.
Exactly. Nothing tonight. No educational value whatsoever.
Oh, we hit a few good points.
Well, we have.
But my problem is I repeat myself. Part of that's age.
Part of it's age, but part of it, we get the same questions. I mean, not to pick on anyone or anything to that effect. So, but you get the questions on what's the best speaker, what should I be using for lighting, or what's the best, you know, is
one of two things have happened when that happens though, and I got to remember this. This is the empathetic me. Either they were not paying attention, like Dude and Cowboy had, who annoyed the shit out of me.
Yep.
He just doesn't care. He's too good to take the time to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am not even interested in helping him. But the other person is the one who, for some reason, we didn't reach the first time around.
Yeah.
I missed something. I was talking to my brother-in-law about this, who's amazing with cars, be it a new car or classic cars. He's got hot rods. He works... You know, that's what he does for a living. It's just, you know, amazing what this guy can do. And I was kind of telling him how, you know, when I go to these shows, it's so cool because I said, you know, let's say I was doing a video on cars. I would talk about, you know, servicing an intake manifold on a 5.2 liter Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
and I could do a video on this. But then what I got to realize is a lot of people don't know what an intake manifold is. So my video really needs to start like this. Okay, this is the engine of the car, and here are the parts of the engine.
Yes.
This is, you got to take them back. And sometimes when they ask these questions over and over again, we haven't brought it back far enough to basics.
Very true.
And some people say, oh, well, if you don't know that much about things, then you shouldn't be in this at all. Well, hold on a minute. The minute that you know everything, please let me know that you're perfect and you've got it all together and you understand everything, because nobody's there. And if you are there, just die because you're done. There's no reason to live anymore. Mm. You've learned everything. You know every damn thing. Just die. But until that time, you're always learning, and everybody is somewhere different. The people who don't know that the Airstream DMX bridge does not require internet, they probably know something about a subject that I know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our strengths and weaknesses.
Certainly.
We all started somewhere. We're all ending up, you know, nah, man, you can't be hard on people. That's just me.
Yep.
Empathy, man. Where are they coming from? You know, they could be rocket scientists. They could be doctors. These people could be surgeons.
Oh, yes.
And I'm looking at them, are you stupid? No, they're a surgeon. They know all about surgery. They just didn't catch that little part of what the Airstream DMX bridge was.
Yeah.
But they're a surgeon. they can do open heart surgery. But that bit I missed, and they missed, and that's completely legitimate. Those are the kind of things that I think we need to think about. But yeah, on my soapbox. But yeah, it's good to get that feedback, and I have a little short list of things that I want to do videos on this week. Oh, and I have a little announcement to make.
Yeah.
There's going to be a special guest in the dungeon later on this week.
Nice.
I'm not going to say who. I'll let you speculate. But I will say this. The special guest has never been in the dungeon before.
Ooh. Hmm.
Yep. So stay tuned for that later on this week.
Any target day? Is he aiming for a Thursday reveal?
Thursday reveal. Possibly Wednesday night.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes. So stay tuned to my channel for that.
Nice.
Special guest.
You guys can find that out on Facebook. Find Brian. Brian has got the Brian S. Red.
Or on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Better yet. And subscribe to that. It's pretty cool when you do. Not that it matters, but yeah, subscribe if you could. If you're not already, Brian S. Red on YouTube. Been there for 11 years. Almost 12 years.
Gosh, time flies when you're having fun.
I know, right? But yeah, special guest to be in the dungeon this week.
Excellent.
You don't want to miss this. I guarantee you, we will be happy that you didn't miss this.
Now I'm really intrigued.
Well, I'll tell you when we're off the air, but everybody else has got to wait.
But I was just trying to think if I could come up with a really good guess. I've got a couple of ideas of who it could possibly be.
This is a good one. This is a really good one.
Well, we know it's not Fat Man Scoop, or else we wouldn't have had that.
No, it's not Fat Man Scoop.
We wouldn't have had that part.
No. But I promise you, you will not be disappointed with my special guest that will be right here in the dungeon later on this week.
Very good.
Possibly tomorrow night. But definitely on Thursday.
Drew mentions kidnapping is illegal, Brian, so...
They're coming of their own free will. I swear it. They're coming of their own free will.
Oh, nice. Good. Good, good, good.
Come on, John, wrap this up.
Midwest DJs Live is coming up here. Are we going to do? It? Are we doing something at Midwest DJs Live?
If you want to.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we'll I know Lori and I are going to be coming in and about the same kind of a time frame we did as last year and such. So
okay.
We'll probably see if we can get together and do some kind of a little bit of a hangout or something one of the evenings.
Yeah.
If there's some folks there.
Do you want to shoot down here in the new studio?
I don't know.
The remodeled studio?
The remodeled studio. We might definitely do that. That or we may check out some of Milwaukee, you know, do something from a remote Milwaukee location. We'll have to.
Well, we could do that too. We didn't even have time for a tour last time, did we? Really?
We didn't do too much, but then there were some other things that we were checking out and such.
Well, make me a priority this time because I want to show you my city. It's a cool city.
So we'll see where we could do it. We could do like two DJs driving.
Yes, total great excuse to see stuff and talk. We can put a little GoPro or some on the dashboard.
Yeah, we can do this.
My hot rod Suburban. You hear the pipes in the background?
We'd have to wire. We'd have to have lapel mics so we're not hearing the big rapping pipes in the background.
Blah 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 blah.
Headed down the road. Well, gang, we're going to wrap things up. Thank you for being with us tonight. We'll be back with tomorrow's shows. You can catch all of those out on our YouTube channel at discjockeynews.com. No, excuse me, youtube.com/discjockeynews. You guys know where this stuff is. Go check it out. We will catch you later. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Good night, everyone.
Tonight's DJ and TV show is sponsored in part by Electro Voice, DJ Event Planner, ADJ, NLFX Professional, Promo Only, Newmark, and DJ and TV Insiders.